Hey, America.
Start singing now. Listeners, you are supposed to be my mindless goons, my hordes of foot soldiers. We couldn't get Uku into the ESC 250. Pitiful! Pitiful! Derek, I can't take it any longer. Roll the music.
And welcome to another short falling episode of 12 Points from America, a Eurovision Song Contest podcast from America, the country that's got what plants crave. I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Danny.
Welcome.
All right. I guess we probably could have had a little bit more success with the Uku Suviste 250 campaign if we had actually, you know, asked people to do something.
Yeah. I think the biggest problem with it this year is that we didn't try very hard.
I just dreamed. A man can dream. I was trying to use my mass telepathy abilities, but need to work on this. Right.
How about this? Yeah. We'll start the campaign now for the ESC 250 2025.
Starts right now.
For now.
Lucky one, Uku Suviste, ESC 250. Let's get it on the countdown. We got pretty close when we tried it with Euro Neuro that one time. Yeah, and according to like Spotify Wrapped, we're more popular than ever. So let's do it. Uku 250, let's go. Sam, hit him with the socials, then we'll talk about the 250 some more because it was a thing that happened. Hi, Sam.
Yeah, hi. You can find us on all of the standard and some of the substandard social media outlets at 12pointsUSA, or you can just email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com if you want to reach us directly. You can find our merchandise over on our Redbubble page, or you could support us by a one-off donation over on our Ko-fi account, that's Ko-fi account, or with a monthly sustaining donation on Patreon. And whether you support us financially or not, we have love and appreciate you either way, but Patreon supporters do get exclusive content and early access to episodes. So I guess we may as well just pick up at where we ended the year with the ESC 250. It was a battle for the ages after a lot of hemming and hawing and rending of garments of what was going to happen. But in the end, it was a Loreen versus Loreen smackdown for the ages. And Euphoria is back on top, as it has been nearly every year since 2012.
Feels like nature's healing a little bit or something. After a couple of years of it not winning and feeling like, oh God, this could just be anybody. It was just like, oh, Loreen is both of the top two now. This is how it's going to be until she competes for a third time and gives Sweden victory number 8 or like San Marino victory number 1, since that appears to be a thing anyone can do now. Loreen.
It kind of feels like, you know, the Hydra, where you think that, you know, by chopping off one head, or in this case adding another Loreen song, that it would somehow divide the vote, but no. You add another head, it just adds another head. You can't escape it. It's just
You guys really like Loreen.
Yeah.
Holy crap. Like you'd think there would be a fall off, even a little one, from there being a couple of options. No, not at all. Good job, Loreen.
I'm going to say this, even in like the top 30, I think there's only one surprise.
A pleasant surprise, if it's the thing that I think you're talking about.
Greece?
No.
I was going to say Marina Sadi coming in top 10 is, I thought that was a crazy surprise. There's so many more songs with a lot more like crazy traction, a lot more, I'd say like political traction that you're exposed to like help claw their way into the top 10. No, Sadi, 2024, 9. Beating out Shum.
That is certainly a surprise for me. My biggest surprise was the fact that we had some justice for our boys, Sudden Lights, that made it into. They're... was the top 30, was it?
It's 33.
That's so cool.
In between, hilarious enough, Spirit in the Sky and Saudade, Saudade. That's where it goes. Narrowly fantastic. Beating Spirit in the Sky. It's these indie rockers from Latvia.
I love it so much.
Sari has aged. I mean, it hasn't been that long, but it seems like it has aged phenomenally well.
Well beloved. A bunch of songs from 2024 coming out that you expect to be here. Europapa, Rimtim Tagidim, and The Code, all at 5, 6, 7, 8. And then 5, 6, 7. And then 9 is Greece.
Yeah.
Also 11, Doomsday Blue. very surprised it didn't crack the top 10, but at 11, I guess.
We'll take that. We'll take that.
For a song as divisive as Doomsday Blue, like that's pretty awesome right there. Yeah.
Yeah. Good showing. On the on the topic of Zari, just really, really quick, I want to give the EP that she put out a shout out for being one, very good. Two, many of you may be familiar with Anthony Fantano, the internet's busiest music nerd, as he calls himself. And he's probably right. He has like 36 videos a day or something. But he has millions of followers on YouTube. He did a list of his favorite EPs of 2024, like his top 25 EPs or something. And she cracked the top 10 of that as well.
Wow.
In the review, he made no mention of Eurovision. I don't know if that's intentional or not. There's no way he doesn't know.
Can't tell the North Americans what's going on.
Yeah,
you can't tell them.
But he spoke very, very highly of Marina and made a comparison that I have not been able to kind of stop thinking about. It likened her to a Greek MIA.
That's kind of good.
I think it's a really cool comparison in terms of
instrumentation and like general tude.
Tude.
Got some tude.
Hopefully not quite as much tude.
Yeah, different.
I've read about MIA recently, but
very
not as great anymore. But like I kind of hear it. If you like in an RLR collar, the first couple of MIA albums just are so just refreshing. There was nothing that sounded like that. You know, combining the pop and hip hop elements with Tamil sounds and things like that. And I hadn't thought about it that way. Like you can go back and listen to my review of Zari when we did our previews, and it's probably not super great. Because I remember not being that high on it. But after hearing that comparison, it clicked a little bit. And now I'm all in.
Right? Like sort of a RLR-opolis?
Yeah.
I don't know where I'm going with this.
Congratulations to Marina for the ESC 250 success, which is the real success, and then also getting a shout out from Fantano, which is a legitimately great thing to have happen if you're an indie artist. People are going to check that out because of him, and that's pretty great too. And congrats to Loreen for top two. Unbelievable.
I mean, it just really kind of goes to show that a lot of artists look at Eurovision as a sort of a pinnacle event, and it's as big as it's going to get. And it's not necessarily. It's a big deal. It's a huge deal. But like it's oftentimes just a stepping stone in a very long, large career that, you can ride high on the wave of OGAE events for the rest of your musical career if you want to. And that's cool. And that's, it's a safe and loving environment that, Eurovision fans are there and they're rabid. But you can grow and you can kind of develop from Eurovision as well. I mean, you look at, Bambi Thug is going to be touring with Baby Metal, if I'm not mistaken, and Poppy, a big arena tour coming up in 2025.
Cool.
Yeah, but that's so much can happen from just this one event, and you can make this the pinnacle of your career, or you can make it a stepping stone. And both tracks are valid and wonderful.
Relatedly, Snap by Rosalind. Huge, huge hit outside of Eurovision.
Mm-hmm.
Not in the 250.
No, not in the 250.
You know it is, though?
Let's practice on each other. Denmark itself, Uvos Pohinanden, somehow manages to remain in the public consciousness despite us performing our Circle of Salt ceremonies against it. 239! 239 beating out Natalia Gordienko's Sugar, your favorite song in the world, Eric.
Shut up. No, I mean, if that can make it, Uku can make it.
Honestly.
People like practice on each other.
They sure do.
It almost qualified.
It's 11th,
yeah. Almost?
Yeah.
And you know what almost did too? Aya.
Sudden Lights. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's some good justice right there. I want to say one more thing about the silliness that was the top two this year, which is I made a meme, and here's the thing. If you aren't following us on Blue Sky 12 Points USA there, I encourage you to go there. Most of our live quote-unquote tweeting is generally going to be there. We're not using Twitter as much, why. Listen, it's still,
we get a lot of engagement. People follow us.
It's still very popular. Yes. Yeah. So I posted the picture. Basically, I made like a the split screen at the end of the contest. I just did that where both of the people in the split screen are Loreen. It was quick and easy. It's funny. And it was like the second or third biggest tweet we've ever had.
I mean, once Cha-Cha-Cha hit like, number three, you're like, all right.
Okay.
So they're both 2-1. Okay.
Yeah. Great. So we know what's going on. or Don's has made an incredible.
Don's with the folding chair.
Anywhere in the 250. I love to see it.
So this is all of this to say, you know, we'll still post on Twitter here and there. If you want to, if you'd prefer to use that, there are more people there. Like it is what it is. We'll post things there here eventually and here and there, things like that. But I also want to point out a phenomenon that I've noticed anytime we have like a hit tweet, that I just think is very amusing. And this is specific to Eurovision Twitter, that I really enjoy. There are always two surges in like likes and notifications and things like that. The first is right after you first send it. It just starts, it gets momentum right away. The second surge is when the Spanish fans see it.
Viva!
Like, and you start seeing the quote tweets in Spanish and things like that. This is a real thing, and I've seen it happen a few different times. That's almost like its own sphere, almost. And once a tweet gets into there and it's popular, there's a whole other like rush of notifications and stuff. It's a wild phenomenon.
Well, we thank our Spanish fans heartily. Muchísimas gracias a todos.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of our sort of retrospective, looking backwards before we start looking ahead to stuff that's coming up. So the Eurovision Awards were a thing that happened. And Danny, supposedly you had some opinions on these Eurovision Awards. Can you delve into that a little bit for us? What are your thoughts?
So the Eurovision Awards, every single year, Eurovision just decides to completely dispense with any pretense at being a serious contest and presents you with certain categories like artistic vision, sure, vocal powerhouse, sure, Miss Congeniality, always. Then things like luscious locks, great, beautiful, well, I mean, love it. By the way, the winner of luscious locks was Sylvester, you know, Sylvester Belt.
Two, keep in mind, Moroccan oil.
I see. I understand. However, we have to talk about, like, I understand that there are silly categories. You know, everybody's yearbook, in addition to, you know, most likely to succeed, will always have a bunch of stupid categories. But, like, it feels annoying to be like, this is the Eurovision award for total slay. I want to die. By the way, Celia Capsis won that one. Great. Have no idea why Dawn's was nominated for Total Slay. Okay. Most Riz 2024, however, is, I guess, what Eric wanted me to talk most about. First of all, four nominees in Most Riz. Self-described, the category presents itself as Most Riz 2024. You either have it or you don't, and you either get it or you don't. No further questions. Okay. So the four nominees for Most Riz 2024. The winner, Angelina Mango, I think deserves it. You sort of understand. She's got the Riz, you know. Other nominees in this category. Windows 95 Man.
Yeah.
Hera Bjork.
Sorry.
And as if those two options were not bad enough, Almost Literal Children, Marcus and Martinez. Like, these are the three other nominees besides Angelina Mango. Like, what's going on? And how did Marcus and Martinez get so close?
Because the
by
people
so close,
who,
I mean 9%.
Because the people who understand truly Riz are Marcus and Martinez's peers.
That's true. They're all 19. I forget that 19-year-olds are allowed to exist still. What's going on? Windows 95 Men, I will allow, because we all need, we all, I feel like once we all saw it, we all knew that we needed it in our lives in more some
like, more like we couldn't
some respect
it. More like
I will say it. However, the silliness we can cast aside because of their award for non-qualifying showstopper 2024. The people have spoken, and we as a podcast can be validated by a country mile. The fans have voted the best non-qualifying showstopper, Iko. Completely true. True.
We knew without, Derek's cat without, is awesome. Like, without, we knew that.
Yes, we did. But I think that was our big surprise. Didn't qualify because we thought it was so worthy and such kind of a step up for the Czech Republic. And to see it not qualify was really heartbreaking. And it's good that we can have validation in this way, at least a little.
Derek, as a resident expert on Riz...
Ouch. I've never been so insulted in my life.
Y'all risen over there?
I took care of that before the show.
Oh, that's good. I see. Always good to Riz before you record.
Riz and repeat.
Listeners out there, let us know if you feel that Hera Bjork was robbed for most Riz. cannot believe that of all the people to select, they were like, you know who's probably got it? Mom. Like,
I can think of three other people who should have gotten nominated.
I would have put Dawn's there before Hera Bjork.
Yeah.
Dawn's has got some Riz, I feel
Dawn's
like.
Dawn's got Riz.
Baby Lasagna put there. Like, Sylvester Belt there, too. Like,
can't nominate the same four things that everyone liked at the in every category. Like, you gotta diversify. I don't know. Maybe not.
Imagine if Hera had won. I'd be happy
if Hera Bjork had won most Riz. That would have been
most Riz. Honestly,
that would have been fantastic. They should do these at the show.
They should be. They should be handing this out. Do you think the rest of the world was allowed to vote in most Riz?
Go to Iceland.
that's right. It's Hatari with the most Riz.
Oh my god!
Have you seen their sweater videos? I'd buy that.
They continue to place quite high on the ESC 250 every year.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling that Bambi Thug is going to be following in that tradition's footsteps.
I hope so.
I hope.
I sure hope so. I like that there's an award for music video because we just kind of forget about those once we get to. sometimes the videos are super cool, and the vote for music video was super close.
Yes, to Baby Lasagna won, right? And then
Baby Lasagna won by a hair over Nemo, which was pretty cool.
Fantastic videos, both of them.
Yeah. Those are the top two. Yeah,
yeah. We had the a little bit more cover of the year, which I love. I love that they give some more attention to these, and I love that the winner was Sylvester Belt again, 2-time Eurovision Award winner. Sylvester Belt practically swept the awards.
I mean, if you think about it, basically, if you just put them side by side, like Sylvester Belt basically just is Troye Sivan, but just with the ramen noodle hair.
Kinda, yeah. Yeah, really good cover of Rush by Troye Sivan.
Yes, we should say. Decided to perform the gayest song from the gayest album. Really, really great choice, Sylvester.
Sylvester was great. Really, really. I think we covered all of the things here.
The happenings. Yeah, there.
Yeah.
Megara got Luscious Locks nominated. That's kind of fun. I don't know. These are great.
At some points it kind of feels like, okay, so bit of context. I graduated in a high school class of about 36 people. So for our yearbook, everybody got a superlative. You know, you had the classics, you had, you know, the class clown and the most likely to do this or that. Everybody got one. And some of these just feel like they're out there just to make sure that as many people as possible get a nomination for one of these awards.
What was yours?
Most likely to come back and be a teacher at my high school.
Ah.
You know what?
It kind of tracks.
It's that fun.
If I didn't hate red tape so much, I probably would have gone into education. But I really hate red tape. And I'm also a hardcore introvert. So, no.
Derek, Danny, do either of you have any of these superlative things in high school?
I was, no? Yes, yeah, it's very poorly aged. They listed runners up. On that awards page in the yearbook beneath the people who actually won them. I was the runner-up for the next Dane Cook.
Oh,
God. In what way? Don't answer that.
He married his high school sweetheart.
Yeah, I was going to say, Stevie's like 20 years younger than you, so it's not that.
He'd have to pull up to the side of the school to pick her up after Honors Britlet.
Yeah.
It was 2008.
So what became of the person who was voted most likely to be the next Dane Cook?
His face is now on bus stops as a realtor.
Huh.
Which I feel like would be a step up for Dane Cook career-wise these days.
Yeah, I don't know what he's up to.
His brother lost all his money, I can tell you that.
Wow. Maybe he's competing for San Marino.
Are we now a Dane Cook podcast? Is that what we've?
No, right. Hell no.
Please,
our new chapter for 2025.
Logical progression for this show.
I am so.
No, yeah. I saw Nosferatu last week, movie podcast.
Yeah.
I don't know. They should have, honestly, they should do more awards. Like, give Don's most bald. Like,
most just, bald.
Just
most
whatever.
Smooth, because he was very smooth.
Yeah.
I was just smooth all around.
Just give him the nomination for Luscious Locks and see what happens.
And then he just loses to Marcus and Martinez, who are more smooth.
No, the show has integrity. We won't do that.
Awesome. Speaking of San Marino, just having guys on the guys and gals.
God, we could mention San Marino every goddamn week on this podcast. They're always up to something.
Those crafty San Marinese, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Their exploits still delight.
Yeah, they do.
They really do. Names keep showing up on the audition list, basically. The like live semifinal or whatever it is. And like we keep getting interesting names. It's weird. It's happening a lot. Today alone, the day we're recording this, Serafine Zubiri.
That is not a name I ever would have expected to see.
Two-time Spanish contestant has apparently shown up on there. It looks like just this picture on Eurovoix that he performed at Eurovision and then had to leave to audition to play Agent Smith.
Dude, he's blind.
Maybe. Oh, God. Well, I'm an asshole. I'm just going to put... I don't know. Anyway, he's 60 years old now, and he has shown up on the San Marinese list because, I don't know. Do we need to check? Are we on the San Marinese list? Are we? Do we have a song that we forgot about?
We didn't do conscription.
I don't know. This list is gigantic.
Yeah.
Like
they don't need anyone to volunteer as tribute. They got plenty of people raising their hands.
So two questions I got for this.
Sure.
Number one. Is this going to turn out a San Marinese winner at some point just because some big artist is going to be like, yeah, screw it, I'll go for it? And two, is the EBU ever going to come in and be like, no, you can't do this?
I mean, they've been doing this for a couple of years now. If the EBU was having a major problem with it, they probably would have already stepped in.
I feel like there's a line they're going to cross at some point.
I'm looking forward to seeing what that line is.
There is just something about San Marino. They've just cultivated this absolute weirdo gonzo aesthetic, just sort of like a real open door policy in every way possible for their submissions, for their entrance, for their songs. I feel like the EBU is content to just concentrate all of those shenanigans in one tiny little country. Like, you know, everyone from like Malta, you'll be like, man, they're not really Maltese. You know, there's even grumblings about stuff like that. But the moment this happens in San Marino, everyone's just like, yeah, but they're San Marino.
I think Sir Hat was the line. And once that happened, it was like, it's just free for all.
Everything fell apart from there. It wasn't the robots. It wasn't the robots the year before.
No, I think they had some legitimacy.
But I find it really interesting that they are sort of this litmus test nation for a lot of things. Like the stunt that they pulled back in 2015, where they had their one of their junior Eurovision singers, because there was a girl group. And then 6 months later, she was old enough to go to Eurovision.
God.
And they put her in with Michele Perignano. That was Chain of Lights. That was 2015. And after that, the EB was like, nah, you can't do that. Let's have this, you know, no 15-year-olds allowed in either competition. You got to be up to 15 in junior and then 16 or older.
That's so arbitrary, though. Like,
it is. It really is. But, you know, it kind of keeps stuff like that from happening.
I can't imagine what kind of year that girl had. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that is a lot for a kid, for sure.
Yeah, which is probably why.
She's a heroin addict now. Oh, sorry.
Oh, jeez. My God.
Yeah.
She's like 26 now, so it's fine.
Yeah, she's 25, yeah.
Oh, stop. Passage of Time podcast. No, they shouldn't. Dumb.
She's old enough to be dumped by Leonardo DiCaprio.
Movie podcast.
Movie podcast. Okay.
Another 80 years Tom Cruise.
Anyway.
This is going great. Let's see. We got... So we've had a couple of different other acts in the last couple of weeks also show up on... Well, a lot of things have shown up in San Marino. Who do we have? Besa from Albania has shown up there. We've got... who else we got? Sam?
Okay, so this kind of ties into some current events. One of the long-listed acts for the wildcard position in the Ukrainian national final ended up withdrawing due to some conflict. Basically boils down to a political issue. And miraculously, their name has popped up now on the San Marinese long list. So good for them for finding their opportunities where you can. And also, I think most importantly and most relevant for us is friend of the podcast, friend of ours, Lisa Jane Lewis, who performs under the name Lady Bird, has a song in the long list. She's giving it a go. She's been working on some independent music.
Yeah, this is so cool.
It's really, really cool. So, Lady Bird, we, you know, wish you all the best. It's going to be a wild ride. I can't wait to hear your stories about it. So keep your eyes open for that. I think she's going to be performing the same day as Besa. So,
well, sorry, Besa, not going to be your day. That's too bad for you, but that's all right. Well, we will I expect we will be chatting with her at some point about what this process has been like, because listen, if we're going to be crapping all over whatever the hell San Marino's doing, we need the inside scoop, and we're going to get it. And that'll be great. On the topic of getting booted from your own national final, this guy hasn't showed up on the San Marino list yet, but Booch.
Sorry?
Sorry?
That wasn't even
a preferred slang word for kombucha. Just no. The booch?
Take B-U a booch. And then the B-U and then the C with the V on it. Booch. Kessidi
Boots
from Serbia has been disqualified.
Oh no!
For that old chestnut of performing the song too early.
Oh no!
Right, he was humming it in a supermarket.
Yeah. Performed it back in May, apparently.
That's a bit much. With 2 weeks after the contest, like
listen, we talked about this last time. Like this happens. Arcade did this, and nobody cared. I know that like. National selections can choose to be more strict about it, and in this case they are, but also sometimes things get disqualified from former Yugoslav republics, and then something comes in and takes the world by storm. So who knows? Who's to say if anything is good or bad?
Yep. You know, speaking of which, the same thing also happened in Croatia this year, that we had an act withdraw from Dora 2025, Lara featuring LSQ. So I guess congratulations to the band Swingers for their inevitable victory.
You got the baby lasagna slot.
Oh, yeah.
Good job, Swingers.
Yeah, Swingers.
Way to be just not quite good enough.
God.
Somehow. As it turns out, that's exactly where you want to be.
Yeah.
As we shall see. Yeah.
All right. In other big, big news, we do have a new song since the last time that we recorded. This is our first recording session of the new year. We haven't been together since after Festivali Kungas. As expected, or as hotly tipped, we have an Albanian winner, and it's Zyrm!
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 I'm so happy.
Not just because it's fun to say, it's fun to listen to. Shkodra Elektronika with Zyrm. Kole Lacha and Beatrice Gjergji, coming from Shkodër in Albania, but with a foot in Italy as well. It was a fantastic entry. Looking forward to seeing if they do any not revamps. I hope they don't revamp it too much because it's awesome as it is.
If they change this to English, I'm going to, oh my God.
I have heard that they are going to keep it in Albanian.
They better. Like, of all the songs, like, can you imagine if Goe was like, we think Shum would reach a better audience if we just said, spring is really good, or whatever. Like, no, stop it. Zyrm. I love it. This is great. This is the one where we had said like, oh yeah, there's one that's like an Albanian shum.
Yeah. It means fire. I think at one point I may have incorrectly said that it means noise. No, it does mean fire. It's less a shum and more fuego, I guess.
No, fuego.
No, it's not a fuego.
Noise.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the idea is if you have a high tempo dance song, it does not matter what language it's in. In fact, there's something about, I think lyrically, about just sort of like getting into that headspace of rave style dance. So if you're divorced more intellectually from it and just feel it as pure emotion music, I feel like that's the ticket, actually.
I mean, that's kind of what that article that we talked about an episode or two ago, Derek, the from the show that you had keyed us in on.
The universality of certain languages and music
of certain sounds. It's certain musical things. Like when a song is meant to make you dance, it's pretty easy to tell.
Yeah.
You know, the song is technically supposed to be more of a healing song.
Nope. Dance.
Yeah. I can't heal to Zyrm. I can dance to Zyrm.
I'm just going to have to keep listening to it until I'm healed of all of my sicknesses.
Right.
I'm okay with the
effect of Zerum. Please contact your doctor if you experience any of the following side effects from Zerum.
Zerum is right for you.
Got a bad case of the Zerumies.
In other news, we have confirmation that the Dutch have selected their artist. It is Claude. Just Claude. Claude.
Boy, what a step down.
He said that
man.
Like he has been Claude. Like. So it's Claude.
Yep. So Congolese born, but has been living in the Netherlands for quite a few years, sings in Dutch as well as in French, which is his first language being Congolese. He took part in The Voice Kids back in 2019, but has continued to record and grow and do all sorts of stuff. His first studio album was released just a couple of weeks ago and made top 10 on the Dutch charts. Already has had a couple of top 10, top 15 hits on the Dutch charts, as well as looks like a crossover onto the Flemish charts as well. I mean, it seems like he's already an established act with some really great tracks to his name. Like if you listen to his back catalog, this is very, very promising, I think. And he cited acts like Stromae and Louis Capaldi as some inspirations.
Does he sing
again,
in English?
He mostly sings in Dutch and French, but it seems like he has dabbled into some English as well.
Is Claude, you know, like the latest most exciting import from the United States. It's Jeff.
Never encourage Jeff. Anyone to use the stage name, but maybe you think about it.
I don't know.
Jeff. But it's J-E-P-H.
Or G-E-O-P-H.
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 Jeff.
Jeff. All right. Well, good luck to Claude. I tend to love what the Netherlands does, and I like what I heard from Cloud. So you know what?
When he's done fighting Sephiroth, he can come.
Yeah,
and say
yeah. Good. Good luck in your battles against Sephiroth. Don't get too attached to the flower girl.
got video game podcast. I love hitting it all. Yeah.
Yeah, we're doing it all. Okay.
Game over.
What do we got? Is that about it? News. We wanted to
yes.
On the topic of language, mm-hmm. We wanted to talk a little bit more about language podcast, and this started as a discussion about Irish and how there isn't enough Irish in my Eurovision, but we kind of got into talking about the Celtic languages just sort of generally. And about the the Gaelic languages, I guess. And we've had some even recently.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say Gaelic language, more Celtic languages. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So really at Eurovision, we really kind of prize the sort of depth and breadth of linguistic diversity, especially over the last, 8 to 10 years or so that we see at the contest. But I feel like there's this untapped resource that we're beginning to see at other competitions, Eurovision adjacent competitions that we haven't seen in the big show itself. And we haven't really seen a lot of exploration of the Celtic languages. So right now there are a handful of still existing Celtic languages out there. There's Irish, Welsh, Breton, Scottish Gaelic, Cornish, and Manx.
Now, give me a Manx song in here.
Well, yeah. I mean, to be fair, Cornish and Manx are revived languages. They technically went extinct and now are being revived. There are really only about 2,000 competent speakers in both of those languages. Many of them, again, just revived languages.
Only need 6 on stage.
There you go.
Technically one.
Yeah.
Irish, Welsh, Breton, Scottish Gaelic, those are the big four that are still that are still around right now. And as of right now, only two of those languages, Irish and Breton, have had any representation at the contest.
Fulen is the only one that I know.
Well,
that is a song that I love, I should add.
Oh, but yeah, it's great.
How is that equal to, has there been more than one Irish language song?
No, there's only been the one. Let me get the official.
SMDH on this, let me tell you.
I thought you were trying to spell something in Irish. I'm sorry.
Nope.
I was like, is that Sieve or something?
SMDH. It's Irish for there is only one.
Well, I think we should add that the reason why Irish is not there is because for the longest time, of course, we'll bring up the chestnut that there was the native language rule, the official language rule. And so, of course, Ireland is going to just pick what they think is going to have a better shot at the contest. You know, lucky for them, they both have a native language being Irish Gaelic and English, whether they like it or not, whether they prefer it or not. So it's like, of course you're going to set English because it's going to do better. And as in fact did very well for them, you know, they had their golden era back when they were able to rely on English being one of their official languages. So it's a double-edged sword, you know, either lose this sort of what in retrospect we would have preferred as far as, I don't know, like cultural, not authenticity, but you know what we're getting at. Like, you know, we always want to hear something a little bit more interesting than, great, English again.
Yeah. But the fact is, even if you are wanting to make something universal, the fact that we have not had Irish language at Eurovision, the big grown-up show, Junior is a whole different thing because that's a different broadcaster. Since 1972, it was Sandy Jones, the song Kjol an Gra, which is quite lovely. If you give it a listen, it very much fits into that early 70s kind of pretty lilting, you know, happy love song. Again, came in 15th place out of 18 songs, if I'm not mistaken, that year. Didn't do super, super well. It should also be noted that that was the year that Malta also decided to not sing in English. They sang in Maltese that year and came in dead last.
Oh.
I know.
Uncultured 1970s fools.
I know, right. But again, now that we are seeing a resurgence in non-English songs doing very well at the contest, the fact that we haven't really seen an Irish language song delve, you know, kind of be one of the forerunners for Ireland in my recent memory, that's kind of heartbreaking to me. We had one song in this year's national final, Go Tobán, which did talk about, you know, not only had a couple of words in Irish, but also was kind of discussing the usage of Irish and like the education of Irish. You know, they repeated the phrase, better to use broken Irish than perfect, or no, was it? Yeah, better to use broken Irish than perfect English. So it was all about sort of the state of Irish in education today as well, which is very cool.
I like Go Tobán.
Me too.
They picked the right song.
Oh yeah, don't get me wrong.
Picked the right song. But, and Go Tobán had a cool presentation sort of concept. I don't think the execution was there. It just didn't come across as super clean and professional, but I like that there was an attempt.
Yeah. But the fact that we've had as many songs with Irish language representation attempting to sing for Ireland on behalf of RTE as we've had songs with Turkish language representation for trying to sing for RTE, that says something. It's been overwhelmingly English, and I feel like Ireland, with all of its focus on revitalizing Irish language education and just making sure that it's exposed, you know, you see it on all the signposts out there. This is a missed opportunity to say this is something really special that we have. And I wish I would see more of it.
I also do. And it's partly because so there's a shade to this that is very different from the idea of any other country deciding to sing in English. And it's because if you're deciding to send a song, you know, from the Netherlands in English, or a song from Sweden in English, it's because of the UK and America's cultural hegemony, like just like the power of their pop culture machine. The reason why the Irish speak English is because of, we know, gestures to history, gestures to the capital G word. I feel like if you are singing in Irish in a song contest, you know, a song that or a contest that is culturally and linguistically dominated by English speakers, and you are in a country that has been militarily and socially dominated by English, the English, in a way that continental Europe has not, I feel like there's a political aspect to it. There's a social aspect to it that is a lot deeper and more complex than any other country deciding to sing in their native language. So for Ireland, I don't know if it's because they have a broadcasting machine, a government broadcasting machine that is hesitant to sort of even brook the idea of sending somebody proudly Irish singing in Gaelic, but one can only wonder. It is a horse of a different color, I think, in this situation for Ireland to be sending English than, say, Belgium sending English.
Yeah, I mean, the Irish language, I feel like, is a point of pride. And I'm just a little, it's still the minority by a pretty good margin. But like the signs at the airports are in English and Irish. Like that's, I think that's the law there. Is there have been these efforts to keep this language alive. And I'm a little surprised there hasn't been more of a push to get a song in Irish at the contest. But at the same time,
also we have seen that Ireland is kind of lazy about Eurovision. Well, it seems so strange for a country that was on such a hot streak in the 80s and 90s, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden they sort of, I don't know.
Yeah.
A lot of the time we insult Ireland because we're just like, oh, you guys sent this? Come on. One of the richest cultures in Eurovision history. Come on.
I kind of take up some contention with the word lazy in that regard. I don't think they're lazy.
I'm being flip, yes.
Yeah. It feels more like they're lost. And in a way, they've become very, very risk averse. I think this year was a huge exception where they just decided to be like, no, we can't. I remember at the national final, there was that boy band song. And one of the judges was like, we can't send this again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it took way too long for that sentiment to rise to the surface. So I feel like we're moving into a phase where the Irish language could actually be sent, whereas before it was like, no, we can't take a risk like this.
Yeah.
I mean, if you could take a risk with a act as divisive and as polarizing and as badass as Bambi, why not take the risk to send something in a language that people might not understand? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's no longer the barrier that it used to be to send a song that is not in English. I mean, we've had songs win recently in Italian and Portuguese, and those are, obviously not as niche and as local as Irish or Welsh or Breton would be, but mm-hmm. certainly not, the vast, vast majority of people listening to these songs don't necessarily understand them. So why not? Why not just give it a try?
People didn't need to understand a word of Zita Boni. They didn't need to understand a word of Amar Pelish Deutsch. They didn't. Mm-hmm. It didn't matter. And like the right song in Irish, you send something that just really affects people.
If you could pick any European song to sing the saddest you've ever heard in your life, wouldn't you pick Irish? Wouldn't you?
Or Portuguese, but yes.
Yes, but yeah. We've done Portuguese.
Portuguese took so long, though.
It did. It took a while to break through. Think about the scale.
Like, they had to find the exact right song. It took them decades before the public finally came around and was like, oh, yes.
50 years. Yeah.
I mean, if you look at the number of people who, I'm just looking, granted, this is Wikipedia, so take this with a grain of salt. But when I'm looking under Crimean Tatar, which was the language that was featured in the chorus in 1944, mm-hmm. native speakers, according to this, says 60,000, which is less by some definitions and some estimations than the number of Irish speakers. A well-done song, even if you go bilingual, you lose a lot of the risk there. Mm-hmm. But just having that representation, and frankly, we here on the podcast have mentioned the film Kneecap and just how awesome it is, and just how, Irish language music isn't just a penny whistle and a
it's so much more than Celtic woman.
Yes,
let me tell you,
it's so much more than that. Like, it's just as diverse and as broad as any other. The language doesn't create a fence around what the music can be. Mm-hmm. If you want to send Kneecap, sure. If you want to send a classic ballad, you can. Yeah. If you want to send, electronica, it's all there.
What if we just paid Hosier like $200?
We just need the right.
God. Did you hear Hosier's cover of Fairy Tale of New York on SNL?
No.
Oh, yeah, it was good.
It was gorgeous. Gorgeous.
I mean, I would let that man sing literally anything to me.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned the Crimean Tatar from 1944, because I think that there's also an argument to be made that putting a language like that, or like Irish, on a stage in front of 200 million people has a tremendous amount of value in just celebrating a culture or celebrating a language, keeping a language alive.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you mentioned with Manx and the other one, that
Cornish.
That's
Cornish,
it.
Yeah.
See, I already forgot. These things die. Like,
we talked about this in the Panarctic Vision when we were talking this way too, that they are all singing in languages that are often in threat of going extinct. And who watching Eurovision? I'm answering my own question here. Of course, people watch Eurovision just because it's pop songs and because they love it. But it's like a lot of us watch Eurovision as a cultural showcase. Like, there's the market is out there to be fascinated by another country.
Mm-hmm.
And even if Ireland you're watching is not. To be entertained, you can still end up learning something.
Yeah.
You know, like how we are the heroes of our time. I didn't know that. And then
Sam, do we have any hopes of ever seeing Scottish at the contest?
I mean, okay, so just for the record, there are, when we say Scottish, there are two different languages we're talking about here.
There's like Scots dialect English, but then
there's Scottish English.
Am I starting a war?
There's Scottish English, which is, you know, the accent English that we would often hear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's Scots, which from what you can argue is a dialect, but I consider it a separate language, a somewhat intelligible language to English. Mm-hmm. And then there is Scottish Gaelic, which is not intelligible to English. It is closer to Irish Gaelic.
Mm-hmm.
We have not had it at Eurovision. However, there was a brief shining moment where they sent a song, BBC Alba sent an act to the Eurovision Choir of the Year competition. I want to say this is 2019. And it was because it was sponsored by BBC's Scottish language or Scottish Gaelic language broadcaster, BBC Alba. It was performed in Scottish Gaelic. So we haven't had it at the contest. We've had it at a contest, but not the contest. And if potentially BBC Alba were to send an act to Junior Eurovision, you know, if the UK weren't participating, if the Welsh weren't sending an act, if BBC Alba sent an act to Junior Eurovision, it is very possible that they would send something being sung in Scottish Gaelic. But it would, I mean, we haven't had a Scottish act, period, singing in any language since 1989.
Oh, who was that?
Taylor Swift.
sorry, 88. Scott Fitzgerald, since Celine Dion's year.
Scott Fender is the Night, sure.
You know, and you said it was Scottish because it was sponsored by BBC Alba. For a second there, I thought you were going to be like, it was Scottish because it was sponsored by
Tonic Tea Cakes.
Yeah.
Let me quadruple check that. Like, I'm pretty sure that we haven't had. I want to say Scott Fitzgerald in '88 with Go was the last Scottish act that we've had.
Danny, to give another possible answer to your question.
Yeah.
About Scottish Gaelic at the big show.
Yeah.
I think we'd need Scottish independence first.
We would need, or at least we would need a separate Scottish entry.
If they were to allow that, then yeah, that could do it.
I don't feel like that's outside the realm of possibility.
I don't. There's no other sort of like subnational unit. Like, I mean, because the UK has, you know, a rather unique political structure with its constituent countries. And, you know, EBU sort of like acknowledges that Scotland is quasi-independent from the English broadcaster. And I could see it happening even if they were not politically independent yet.
I think, when was the Scottish independence vote?
It was 2016. It was like concurrent with Brexit, wasn't it?
No, I thought it was a little bit before. It was like maybe like 2014.
They were promising not to do Brexit.
Yeah,
but it could have been that. Yeah, that's right.
But I remember talking to somebody, because I came up in a conversation when I was traveling. And I was talking to this British guy, and I just straight up asked him, like, "Is Scotland at risk of voting again to leave now that Brexit actually happened?" And I think he said recent polling shows that it's less popular now than it was. But this was a few years ago, so it might have changed since then.
Mm. It was 2014. I don't know. Danny, you make a good point. I mean, constituent countries and things like that. I think there's potentially a slippery slope there, too.
You could imagine Northern Ireland sending Irish.
Yes, Faroe Islands have tried to, like, join the EBU separately or do Eurovision separately. Sure. And, like, if they let Scotland do that, then, you know, they, and it is some other place, would be like, well, hang on a second. If you're doing that, we want in.
Who are you talking about? Is Transnistria in danger of sending a
Poland Island
delegate?
Or
Greenland.
Greenland would be, yeah.
Future U.S. territory, Greenland?
Oh, yeah. Christ.
Bite
God.
Your tongue.
Every time.
We were having such a good conversation, Derek. You just have to bring
Happy
us
January
crashing
6th,
back.
Everyone.
So this is how we get the U.S. into Eurovision.
That's fine. If Denmark wants to buy us, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
It could be Schengen zone. See, it's not
all bad. All right. Yeah. So not too bad. Yeah.
So just Minnesota. I'd be chill with being part of Denmark.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
But yeah, I think I would love to see more Scottish Gaelic representation here. I think we're probably more likely to see maybe some Welsh, considering there are, 10 times as many speakers of Welsh as there are of Scottish Gaelic. Mm-hmm. And we have had Welsh acts at Eurovision more recently. But they haven't really worn their Welshness on their sleeve. I don't know. I don't know. Again, as we were talking about with Ireland, I would love to see the BBC just take a linguistic risk on this.
Yeah. From them or from cool. or with RTE. It's RTE yeah. over in Ireland, right?
Yep. Oh, for the English like, language, the main national broadcaster is RTE.
Yeah, like if they would just like take a chance, you know, yeah. put the feelers out there, say we're looking for like genuine acts. Like we're not like everything is going to be fair. You know, we said no to the boy bands last time. The evil was defeated. Feel free. Like you're not going to be selling out if you do this. Like people are hungry for this kind of genuineness and sincerity. Like, mm-hmm. gimme.
There's no better time than now to
for sure.
The what's the other broadcaster that does junior for Ireland?
TG4, TG Cahir.
Yeah, they've really embraced it, and it's an Irish language broadcaster. So that it makes is. Sense. I lamented a little bit that they sent a absolute banger in English for junior this past year because it's just not what I want from them. But if you know,
it wasn't in English; it was Irish.
Oh, was it? Okay, well, it wasn't at... God damn it. Okay, hang on.
No, certainly.
I got like 5 minutes, by the way. Yeah. I was a little disappointed that they sent an... It was still in Irish, but it was an absolute banger instead of a big time... we're summoning the Selkies sort of Irish business, like Banshee and Solas. Those songs are gorgeous. You cannot tell me that wouldn't do gangbusters at Eurovision. A song like that.
Oh, people would love it.
They're gorgeous. Do it.
We will see what happens whenever, you know, RTE reveals their songs in their national final running. Because I believe that national final will be happening in February,
early
if I'm not
February,
mistaken. Back to the Late Late Show. We'll see what happens. Hopefully they give us something good. I just hope. I will say we did have a little bit of an Irish language representation this year, but it wasn't in Irish. If you looked at Bambi Thug's presentation, the Ogham script.
Oh, of course.
So we had written Irish script, but it wasn't in Irish.
Little by little.
Little by little. Mm-hmm. You know, but again, if you know where to look, it gets people talking, it gets people interested. And, you know, we're having these conversations right now. And I look forward to seeing what the next years will bring. You at home, let us know what you think. What languages would you like to see? What paths towards more linguistic diversity do you suggest? Let us know. 12pointsUSA on most social media outlets. Just email us directly, 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Otherwise, we will see you, I guess, on our next episode. Any other words of wisdom, guys, before we sign off for this week?
Go watch Kneecap. It's on Netflix.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
It is.
Yeah. It's really good.
I got my viewing sorted for tonight then.
Oh, it's so good. It's probably my top three. I swear to God, we're not trying to do the movie podcast bit like on purpose. It just keeps happening. But
this time it's actually relevant.
Like Kneecap, if you've enjoyed this discussion, if you've enjoyed like learning about the Irish language and about what it means to people and things like that, the movie Kneecap is fantastic. I would say go in knowing as little as possible.
Yeah.
Because I think the experience is a little bit better for that. And if you watch it because of our recommendation, please let us know what you thought. We'd love to know because we're big fans of it, and I think you will be too.
Sounds good. All right, well, until next time, everybody, I've been Samantha.
I've been Derek.
I've been Eric.
And I've been Danny.
And America, stop listening now. Listening
new.
I failed as a supervillain. How am I going to dominate the world at this rate?